Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 710 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Yes, I survived skiing with only an injury that came from the parking lot afterwards. if you want to hear that story, that was the 5 o'clock hour. I told the long story. Powder is not my friend, but I didn't get hurt. Moguls are not my friend, but I didn't get hurt. Yeah, I literally fell down in the parking lot and banged my knee, which is just so... But we had a great time. Excellent time with family. Even the driving was not that bad. I got to really spice up my life while listening to all these county commission meetings and podcasts from this show and all the stuff and a bunch of music and whatever. I will confess that I did let Joe Biden ruin my Christmas. Late. Now, it didn't feel much like Christmas anyway for me because I had done family stuff previously and we had been driving and then we did hamburgers for lunch yesterday on Christmas, which I know, it was just all, we didn't do presents yesterday because we had done them before. It just, the whole collage of things didn't come together for me on Christmas. And then I was prepping the show last night, and I'm reading about the Joe Biden commuting 37 federal death penalty cases to life in prison, and I'm like, And I did what I should have known better than to do, but still it was the right thing to do, and I'm glad I did, even though I'm angry that I did. I started reading the cases because this is what you do. You know, good news coverage doesn't say 37 random vague people. It says 37 convicted murderers. Well, what did they do? And the more I read them, the more angry I got, the more frustrated I got, and the more I couldn't stop reading them. I had to read all of them. Now, I read them in various levels of detail, layers of detail, and not all thoroughly. I just didn't have time last night. I probably spent an hour and a half reading different cases on this. So I'm going to share some with you because you cannot evaluate this decision unless you look at the cases. And I say that because a lot of times the discussion about capital punishment is a kind of a theoretical abstract one about things like, well, what if there's bias in the jury? Or what if somebody who is, a black defendant gets convicted by an all-white jury? Or, innocent people? Or, some theoretical construct about whether it's ever appropriate to take a life or any of that kind of stuff. What does the Bible say about this subject? And listen, you're going to have to trust me for the moment when I say this. I've written a series of 11, they're not technically editorials because I'm not an editor, but editorials about this subject, 11,000 words I've written on this subject. It's a pretty good treatment of the subject of capital punishment and why, as a Christian, I'm in favor of capital punishment. The best arguments against capital punishment don't apply in these cases because these are all, there's no question that they did this. And they did horrible, terrible things. This is not about innocent people. This just doesn't even apply. In order to get a conviction of a federal death charge, I mean, you have to go way above and beyond. So I'm going to share with you some of these stories because you cannot evaluate the egregious wrong that has been done by this president unless you know what these people did. And you'll have to pardon me. My voice is, still not right.
Cough.
It is still, it's after 2.5, almost 2.5 hours of talking, it's starting to bother me again. Yeah, I'm glad I was on vacation to get my voice back. I thought it would have been back by now. All right. Meyer Jason Brown, November of 2002 in Georgia. Brown confessed to killing Sally Gaglia after visiting the Fleming, Georgia post office in the morning to retrieve his family's mail. He then admitted to returning home and then going back to the post office where he asked for 3 money orders. When Gaglia, the woman, turned to use an adding machine, he jumped over the counter and attacked her with a knife and stabbed her 10 times and killed her. No question about the facts. No question about unjustly convicted. A brutal, senseless, cold-blooded, violent murder. And now he will be in jail for life. Brandon Council, 2017, South Carolina. He was Surveillance from the 2017 double murder shows counsel walking into Crescom Bank in Conway, South Carolina, approach victim number one and speak to her briefly before pulling out a gun and shooting her multiple times, and then leaping over the counter and opening fire on 36-year-old victim number two, Catherine Skeen. Victim number one is Major was the last name. I don't know the first name. Killing her as well. So two just random, completely innocent citizens that are in a bank, and he decides to go in there and kill the both of them. No remorse whatsoever. No, just totally random killing. Len Davis was a New Orleans police officer under internal investigation for suspected involvement in a number of crimes, including assisting drug dealers and violating the rights of civilians. The FBI intercepts phone calls during which he talks about killing New Orleans resident Kim Groves after she filed a complaint against him with then Internal Affairs Division of the New Orleans Police Department. And he shot her once in the head, execution style. An incredibly bad cop was on death row and is now going to live. Edward Leon Fields, I know it's the day after Christmas. I get it. I would much rather have done this at some, I mean, I would much rather have never had to do this, but Joe Biden's the one who decided to make the commutations, and I haven't heard a lot of news stories where people are talking about these cases. And you cannot talk about the commutations unless you talk about the cases. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. No accidents to let you know about right now. Just seeing some minor slowdowns on I-10 as you approach the Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. But other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Sean. All right. Edward Leon Fields Jr. These are death sentences commuted to life by President Biden. 2003, Oklahoma. According to federal court documents, Fields, who was working as a prison guard at the time, stalks a couple at a campground while hiding in a nearby bush wearing a ghillie suit. That's to look like foliage, okay? Armed with a camouflage rifle. Admitted to the FBI that after some time he watched as Charles Chick, victim number one, walked toward the couple's tent and fired, hitting Charles. While trying to run, Shirley Chick, victim number two, fled toward the couple's van. As she ran, Fields shot her in the foot and then in the side of the head. After both were incapacitated, Fields approached and shot the couple again at close range. Working as a CO at the time. Thomas Morocco Hager, Virginia, 1993. After shooting two rival drug dealers from the Eli Place gang in D.C., Hager went into hiding at a Maryland apartment. Feared his location would be outed, however, after Barbara White, 19 years old, who had formerly dated a member of the gang and was friends with Hager's girlfriend, visited the residence. Hager and two other men arrived at White's Mount Vernon apartment and, after being invited in, bound and gagged her, ordered her into the bathtub. The three men repeatedly stabbed her with knives from her kitchen 82 times. The three men then left, leaving her then 13-month-old daughter alone in the apartment, the body later discovered by her father. They testified, the other two men testified against him receiving life so that he could be sentenced to death. That's the person that was unjustly sentenced to death, according to Joe Biden, and didn't deserve to die. Yuri Mikhail and Yurius Katamovas, 2007. This is in North California. They killed five people in a kidnapping for ransom scheme, dumping the bodies in the remote North California reservoir. Soviet-born immigrants hatched the kidnapping plot while working in an aquarium store on Ventura Boulevard. They kidnapped five people over a four-month period in 2001, luring victims with offers of business deals demanding more than $5.5 million from the victims' family members after kidnapping the victims, getting more than $1 million in ransom, but nevertheless killing all the victims by strangulation anyway. They drove to the reservoir near Yosemite to dump the bodies. Nick Carbazzati, 27, Alexander Umansky, 35, Rita Peckler, 39, George Safiev, 37, and Meyer Muscatel, 58. They hatched several escape plans, including a scheme to use bolt cutters, a pepper shaker, a rake, and fence cutters to break out of a detention center in San Bernardino and make a getaway on motorcycles, but a letter that detailed the plot was found in a trash can by a guard. The plan was foiled. So they murdered five people, who they kidnapped for ransom and then got paid and then still killed them anyway. Ronald Mikos, Northern District of Illinois, a licensed podiatrist in Chicago, engaged in extensive, this is one that hits a little closer to home, extensive Medicare fraud by billing for surgeries never performed, submitting claims for procedures that were either routine and non-reimbursable or entirely fictitious, murdering Joyce Brannan, who was one of his patients, who was going to whistleblow on him committing Medicare fraud. Remember how we had somebody here locally who said she was scared for her life because she was the whistleblower on Medicare fraud? Not a completely unreasonable fear. David Runyon, murder for hire, orchestrated by a Navy officer's wife and her boyfriend, who wanted her husband dead for his $500,000 life insurance policy. Runyon shot Voss 5 times outside an ATM. The boyfriend and the wife received life sentences. The hitman received, well, execution, but now it's commuted to life because we've got to make sure not to kill these people. This one is particularly awful. This one's particularly bad. And this happened in Florida. Ricardo Sanchez and David Troya, 2006, Southern District of Florida. Troya and Sanchez shot and killed a family of four, including two toddlers, on the Florida Turnpike to settle a drug debt with the father of the family. They moved to Palm Beach County 2 weeks before the murders. The pair stopped the family's Jeep Cherokee along the Turnpike and then proceeded to shoot all the people in the Cherokee and then left the bodies on the side of the road and drove off in the car. They were involved in cocaine trafficking with a third person. Thomas Sanders. This involves a kid. 2010. Sanders was dating the mother of the child, Sue Ellen Roberts, whom he fatally shot in the head near I-40 in Arizona during a trip to a wildlife park near the Grand Canyon over Labor Day, and then forced the 12-year-old girl, Lexis Roberts, into a vehicle and held her captive as he traveled east. Days later, he murdered her in ways I'm just not going to describe. Don't tell me that the president is engaged in an act of kindness or mercy or law and order or Christian grace or anything else. There's an MS-13 gang member on here who shot some people because they disrespected his gang signs. I mean, this is insane. And he's hoping the states will follow suit. He's hoping that this example will lead the states to get rid of their death penalties too. These are not cases of innocence. These are not cases of, you know, mild cases. Oh, and by the way, here's what's also amazing about this. So Biden is commuting these 37 cases, and then he's not commuting Johar Tsarnaev, sometimes called Jokar, the Boston Marathon bombing, okay, brother, the one who lived, or Dylann Roof, right? And what was the third one? There's a third one. Sorry, it's just gone straight out of my head. where was the other one? I have it right in front of me here. Robert Bowers, the Tree of Life Synagogue murders, 11 people there. Because those are too much hate crime mass murders. These other ones aren't. There's no conceptual line you can draw to justify, and I mean, I hate to say it this way, commuting these 37 and not the other three. It doesn't make any sense at all. If I can say it this way, he's not even being a good Catholic about that. I mean, if he's really believing the death penalty is unjust, the death penalty is always unjust. The death penalty is not always unjust. And by the way, I got a text in from somebody. Where is it? The Bible clearly says thou shalt not kill. No, it doesn't. Can I say this with all the love I can muster? You dummy. If that's what it said, then the Bible contradicts itself when it prescribes murder. Oh, sorry. Killing. For several capital offenses. The people who say the Bible says thou shalt not, it says thou shalt not murder. The better word is murder, which is the premeditated taking of an innocent life It is not a premeditated taking of an innocent life when somebody has committed a capital crime. The same Bible that says thou shalt not kill, if you translate it that way, which is a bad translation, prescribes execution for many things. Please, read more of your Bible. Read more of your Bible. Anyway, the typical best arguments you can make about capital punishment don't apply here. Now, I think there's a good conversation you can have in the abstract about things like deterrence. I don't think capital punishment is a deterrent. We just don't do it swiftly enough. We don't do it clearly enough. And deterrence is a weird argument anyway, because you're arguing that it's okay to overpunish somebody if it discourages other people from committing the crime, and that's not a justifiable reason to punish somebody. You know, caning somebody for chewing gum on the sidewalk is inappropriate because you're overpunishing them. Well, if life is the appropriate punishment and you execute to scare people, you're overpunishing. That's unjust. So you have to be justified in executing. You can't use deterrence as a reason. But I think you're justified in executing because it is the only way to hold people accountable with blood for the crime of murder in particular, which the Bible prescribes, because it is honoring the person's humanity, their capacity to be held accountable for the crime they did. It's not just retribution. It's not just revenge. It's not just a thrill of being able to take out the evil person, destroy the monster. It's literally honoring them in the very last act they're going to give as live people by holding them accountable and allowing them to pay the only way you can pay for a murder. It's not dishonoring or dehumanizing. It's humanizing and honoring to execute somebody. But that's a conversation for another day. 726 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. It looks like I-10, I-110, even Highway 90 from Pace to Pensacola is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
As America continues to endure sin and debauchery of just about every type, I find myself evaluating my patriotism. For many Christians, it's become increasingly difficult to express patriotism when the powers that be are wholeheartedly endorsing the wickedness of same-sex marriage, abortion, transgenderism, and such the like. However, for me, my patriotism is primarily rooted in gratitude for our country's biblical foundation. My patriotism stems from our country's past in spite of her present. I love that our coins say, "In God we trust," and our pledge still includes one nation under God. Our national anthem declares, "Then conquer we must when our cause it is just," and this be our motto, "In God do we trust." If we want God's continued blessing, we must get back to Him, because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2 times Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit David's Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hey folks, this is Jimmy Petronas, Florida's Chief Financial Officer, wishing each of you a Merry Christmas. Now, I just received an amazing phone call a few weeks ago that I want to tell you about. President Trump called me and said, "Jimmy, I want you to run for Congress." Wow. Yes, the guy who just won a landslide victory defeating the crazy Democrats in Washington, the guy who just got shot, stood back up and said, "Fight, fight, fight." That guy. President Donald J. Trump told me to run for Congress. Well, my mama didn't raise a dummy, so my response to the president was a very simple, "Yes, sir." I will run, and we will enact President Trump's agenda. We will secure the border. We will get rid of the woke foolishness in Washington. It's an honor of a lifetime to have President Trump's endorsement. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Petronas, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support. Paid for by Friends of Jimmy Petronas, Inc.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge. I said the word. The big one. The queen mother of dirty words.
When I'm with you, it feels like Christmas. I must have
been good. Such a great scene. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Briefly, David, sorry I kind of pushed you up against the end of the bottom of the hour. Go on, sir.
No, that's fine. The 7-day celebration of Kwanzaa starts today. That's been celebrated since 1966. The cultural holiday was developed by California State University professor Dr. Milana Karenga. Recognized now by millions of people around the world.
Very good. And yesterday was both the beginning of Hanukkah and Christmas Day, something that's only happened four times since 1900.
Fox News, I'm Paul Stevens. The weather could affect travel for millions heading back home after Christmas.
Rain moving across portions of the Gulf Coast. Really maybe more of an issue as far as driving goes today, but there are going to be some heavy downpours across portions of Central Texas into East Texas.
Fox Weather's Adam Klotz. Thousands in D.C. on Wednesday as the National Menorah was lit, marking the first night of Hanukkah. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas on Israeli strength since the October 7th attacks.
There is a yearning for this beauty, this rooted history. We see it in a post-October 7 surge in synagogue attendance, Jewish learning, and communal connection. We can lean into our shared tradition and values as a beacon for what we aspire to.
Meantime, peace talks continue in the Middle East. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 52 degrees across the area. The victim in Monday's fatal shooting on Rouse Drive has been identified as 18-year-old Gary Lynch. Family members tell our news partners at Channel 3 Lynch was a high school student, also a young father. He was shot in the head on Rouse Drive, leaving his family and friends in mourning this Christmas.
He was a super sweet guy. Everyone loved him. Gary was a pretty good guy to talk to. I mean, he was pretty much there if you needed, like, advice or anything. He was just a very straightforward person.
That's Gary's friend, Chloe Martin, and she says she's known him since middle school. Officials at the Escambia County School District say grief counseling is being offered for students, but they didn't say which school Lynch attended. So far, no arrests have been made. No information on a possible motive has been released. Pensacola Energy Gas customers might be eligible for a refund connected to a class action lawsuit filed in 2015. The lawsuit alleged that the city had unlawfully collected franchise fees since 1970. Fees could potentially amount to between $18 and $20 million. The actual amount has not yet been determined by a court, and that case is still pending. Two men were arrested near the Atmore prison with drugs and cell phones this week. Officials say they were notified of possible trespassers in the woods near the Fountain Correctional Facility on Tuesday. Officers from the Atmore Police Department and Porch Creek PD responded. Canine officers were able to track down the two suspects. ADOC says Derek Bean and Keith Davis were found with methamphetamine, cocaine, fentanyl, and cell phones and chargers. Both men face multiple charges related to the drugs, including promoting prison contraband. The men were taken to the Escambia County, Alabama jail. ADOC says more charges could still be filed. Well, it is right in the middle of the busy holiday travel season. A record number of travelers expected in airports across the country this holiday season. The Pensacola Airport says that's definitely been the case locally. Officials say there's been about a 7% increase in travel since last year.
But we've been able to meet that demand, no problem. And so we just hope everyone's safe and enjoys their holiday travel.
Airport Director Matt Coughlin there. He also says recent changes to their queue line at the TSA checkpoint have made things a little bit more orderly and efficient this year. Well, the Jimmy Butler era might be coming to an end in South Florida. ESPN reporting yesterday that Butler wants the Miami Heat to trade him, although he hasn't formally requested a trade. He's currently in his sixth season in Miami. He's second on the team in scoring, and according to the report, Butler's hoping to be traded to Phoenix, Golden State, Dallas, or Houston. The NBA trade deadline is February 6th. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10 and I-110 are actually flowing very smoothly through those construction zones. Seeing a minor delay if you're heading on Highway 90 southbound into Pensacola from Pace, right there where the light is for the scenic split off. So just be aware of that. Just minor delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
There is going to be a small chance of rain throughout your day today, 30% overall, high near 67 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Friday, 30% chance of rain, high near 69. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Seeing more rain chances into the weekend with a 70% chance of rain on Saturday, high near 70 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, it is 52 degrees across the area. We've got cloudy skies. Our next news at 8 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Jennifer Squirto with Your Money Now. Amazon's competitive pricing has gotten better with the launch of its winter sale, where they're bringing back many of the best deals from Black Friday. You can save up to 40% on home goods and tech items across a ton of brands, according to CNBC. Northwest Naturals issued a voluntary recall for a batch of pet food after a cat died of bird flu in Oregon. The company advised pet owners to ditch 2-pound bags of feline turkey recipe raw frozen pet food. The product was sold at a dozen states in Canada. Customers can contact the place of purchase for a full refund. The University of North Carolina hired former New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick in an effort to elevate its football program at a school better known for basketball. After the announcement, it's reported that UNC's name, image, and likeness budget for football player payments would balloon to $20 million, up from $4 million. That would make its NIL budget one of the biggest in college football. And futures are down. And that's your money now.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider, they're your healthcare partner. Specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older, VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's good to be back. I would say in this chair, but I stand. So I don't know how people do talk radio sitting. I really prefer to stand. I could do it. I think I've done it occasionally, and I'm trying to think back. Maybe in Phoenix I did, but like standing is, I don't know, more energy. You know, maybe I should sit.
Maybe we're, you know,
we've discovered the source of the problem. It's coffee and standing. That's what makes Andrew who he is. Aw, dang. Let's see. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, happy New Year, Merry Christmas. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
You too. Good morning. It's great to hear your voice back again, sort of.
Yeah, it's still not quite there, but we're working on it. I'm working on it. I figure by use, maybe that's the way we go with this. Let's start with the bad news, and then we'll get to the good news afterwards. We had a drive-by at the Sitco at Pace and Garden.
Well, Yeah, maybe. This individual, the victim, was sitting on a bench at the convenience store at the corner of Garden and Pace, and a vehicle pulled up. The driver rolled the window down on the passenger side and shot through that window and hit the individual in the knee. We're fairly confident that one or both of them are familiar with each other and that we'll be able to bring this case to a conclusion very soon.
Okay, so this was not a random shooting. At least you don't think so.
No, we don't think so. Fortunately, the injuries were minor on the victim, so hopefully we'll wrap that one up pretty quick.
Do we know yet whether it was crime, gang, drugs related or personal beef related or something else, or do we know?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
The investigators probably do, but that's information, again, that we never want to jeopardize an investigation. So once an arrest is made and we're able to talk more about it, I certainly will.
Okay. All right. I said we get from the – that's anything else happen worth reporting on that I didn't know about already? Crime incidents kind of things?
For Christmas and all and a holiday, we didn't have anything major to report. We haven't had any of those tragic DUI crashes that sometimes happen. That's been – and hopefully that's going to continue throughout the new year. So it's been very uneventful in Pensacola.
My favorite words. Whenever I talk to the cops, I love uneventful. It may make for boring radio, but it makes for good society, and I'll take that over the other all the time. Speaking of good society, you guys have done some pretty cool things this week, including putting on the light show for the Children's Hospital, right?
Yeah, that's something that we do. We've done for 5 years now, and this is an event that it's on Christmas Eve. Officers are there. We don't have to make them go. This is something that from the newest officer all the way up to the command staff, the captains, the deputy chief and the chief are there. This is something that we look forward to. We like to see the smiles on the faces through those windows of those children, and that's what happened the other night. So we appreciate everybody that came, Pensacola Fire Department, the Escambia County EMS, Escambia Fire, the Sheriff's Department, and the Florida Highway Patrol all came together to put the smiles on those kids' faces.
Oh, my God. How many apparatus did you have there, if you had to guess?
Oh, I couldn't tell you about how many. I don't know.
50?
40?
40 or 50?
It could be 50. Yeah, it could be. It was packed like it always is.
No, that's I love this. This is such a neat little thing. And I love that the county gets involved. They're like, us too. That's perfect. And then the other thing, kind of a cool thing you guys did this week, this is common for law enforcement to do, but still, that doesn't make it not cool. It's very cool. The shopping spree at Target, right?
Yeah. So we had some teenagers that, I believe there were 9 or 10 that were there that, officers throughout the year, they, run into these teenagers in, incidents or situations that are not good. So, if we can help them out at Christmas time to show another side of the police department, that's what we're going to do to help them out at Christmas. And like last year and years before, Andrew, some of these children, or these teenagers, these young adults, they didn't get anything for themselves. They bought things for family mm-hmm. members and other people. They've been involved in some tragedy over the past year, and we were able to come in there and do this with help from Target and Innisfree and others, and we're glad to be able to do that each year.
No, it's you're telling me what I had experienced the same. I watched these kids back in, I went with Escambia County Sheriff's to the Walmart across the street back when they used to do it at the Walmart, and that's what the kids would, so many of them would, they're buying something for mom, buying something for sister, and it's like you got to kind of force them to buy something for themselves, at least sometimes that's the case, and it's just such a beautiful thing, and I love that you guys do that. I did not know that the kids who participate in this are kids that officers encounter through the course of their service calls and then recommend for the program instead of like sort of being, applicants or, something like that. I think that's a wonderful thing. I did want to ask you, and I know you talked with Walker about this last week, but let's talk just a little bit about the red light cameras, because I just want to make sure none of this comes as a surprise to people. I think we might've been the first to report on the polls going in. But I just want to make sure that everybody hears about this. 9th and Fairfield, 9th and Airport, and 9th and Bayou are going to have red light cameras, and we're getting pretty close, but it didn't look like the machinery was all that close to me yesterday or Tuesday. Are they definitely going to go operational January 1st?
That's what we hope. We know for sure that we have at least three that Florida Power and Light just has to put the juice to, just has to hook up the electricity. And then the rest we're hoping to have online by New Year's Day. But if not, they will not be very far behind at all.
Okay. Because the ones that I drove past at, where was I? Bayou, I think. And I thought, oh, I don't know that those ones look like they're quite ready. But maybe they are, and it just didn't look that way to me. And the short version of this is, it's for the first month, it's a ticket that's just a warning with no price tag. And then after that, it's, what, $158? Is that right?
Yeah, it's $158. It's a civil fine, a civil penalty. So, but it can get ugly after that if you choose not to pay it, because then we have to write a uniform Florida citation. Points are involved on that. And then it gets more expensive. It jumps up to $264. So, the first month will just be warnings. And then after that, then the citations will be issued, or the civil citations will be issued.
And it is, first of all, it is cheaper than if an in-person police officer were to fine you for catching you in person. And there is a super easy way for people to avoid having to pay the red light camera fine, and that is what?
To not run the red light is the biggest one that we came up with.
Yeah, it's a relatively obvious solution that you would think maybe more people would simply avail themselves of. We're talking to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for PPD. Mike, hang on for just a second. We'll come back to you in a moment. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to report right now. I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for PPD. It is coming up to, before you and I talk again, it will have been New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. In the state of Florida, fireworks are legal, at least some fireworks are legal to explode on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. But there is an important exception of that law, which is?
Cities can override that. They can have their own ordinances, and we do have that in the city of Pensacola. So if it flies or explodes, it's still illegal. We do get complaints. We will be getting complaints on New Year's Eve, a lot of them. We always do. But we want our citizens to know that those complaints will be answered as soon as we can get there. There will be a lot of them. And, of course, high-priority calls must come first, and then we will get around to answering those fireworks complaints. But a lot of times, by the time we get there, the fireworks have been all used up, and there's not a lot we can do. But we will answer your calls. It just may take us a while for those, which are low-priority calls that night.
And I want to give you a moment to do your best to discourage people to shoot guns off at New Year's Eve.
Well, there's going to be no warnings for that. If we find out that happened and we know who you are, there will be an arrest made. There's that bullet's going to come down someplace, and it does a lot of damage when it does. So please don't do that. That's something that we won't tolerate, zero tolerance, and you can get arrested for that, or you will get arrested for that.
Anytime somebody fires a gun and it leaves their property in the state of Florida, that becomes a crime, right?
Yes, and they are absolutely 100% liable for that.
Yeah, if they're not justified in using it in self-defense, as cases we've talked about many, many times. Mike, we always like to end with a did-you-know or a cop myth. I have one for you this week. My question is, do police officers, and it's more of a do-you-know, do police officers drive differently in their cop car rather than in their regular car? Every citizen in the known universe drives better when the cops are around. Do cops drive better when cops are around?
Yes. So, look, we don't, in looking at it from our perspective, we don't want to disrespect that officer or his cruiser or break the law ourselves. We're held to a higher standard, and we are no better than anybody else if we go out there and speed in our personal vehicles. That's something that you just don't do. So, but to answer your question, if a police car gets up behind us, maybe I wouldn't say it makes us nervous, because to me personally, it does not. But I'd still want to respect that officer and make sure he doesn't have to pull me over for any reason, unnecessarily.
And do great answer. I appreciate that. And it's right. Of course. Do cops drive their own cars differently than they drive their cruiser?
Well, we don't have to go to hot calls in our personal vehicle. So I believe it's under normal circumstances, it's about the same.
But have you ever been in your personal car and thought, man, I wish I had the switch?
Yes. There's been many times that you've seen something, especially an impaired driver.
Yeah.
And that's something, you know, that we just get on the phone and take care of that. And that's something else I'd like to throw out real quick. You know, we've got more people watching. Everybody's got a cell phone now, and particularly people need to remember this on New Year's Eve. It used to be that you didn't get stopped or arrested unless you hit something or an officer got behind you. Now everybody has a cell phone. Andrew, we get a lot of calls from the public about impaired drivers, drivers that cannot maintain their lane, that sit at green lights and things like that. And we are going, and most of those drivers, those witnesses, will stay behind that driver until we're able to stop that vehicle. So please don't think that as long as I don't see a cop around, I'm going to be okay, because people are calling us. We're getting there. We're stopping these vehicles, and we're making impaired driving arrests every year.
Amen. And I do the same. I've reported numerous people who are, and I'll always be patient and wait and see. Is it just a one time they check their phone or something like that? And if it's consistent and it's obvious, I will absolutely call. The one question I have for you, and this might be useful for people, I always have the non-emergency numbers for all of the police agencies in my phone, because that's, I've found over the years, that's a very useful thing to have. Do you want people to call 911 for a drunk driver they observe, or do you want them to call the non-emergency number?
No, they can call 911. They could be saving somebody's life when they do that.
Okay, fair enough. And that's, I just want to make sure that people hear that message, that if you know for sure, you know, or even if you strongly suspect, that's why you have a call. You're the eyes, right? You're the eyes of the law to be able to, you know, potentially prevent somebody's life from being taken as a result of that. Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thank you for the great tips and great information, and we'll talk to you again next week, and Happy New Year in between.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
751 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about that next vehicle and trying to decide where to go, and you know, I encourage you to take me seriously when I say this. The time to buy the next car is not when the old car dies. It's well ahead of time. You know, look, you know a car is aging out, right? You know you're going to have to break up with that car soon, okay? Well, before you break up, take the old car you're going to break up with to go buy its replacement. To go look at replacements. Because the worst time to buy a car is when you have to. The right time to buy a car is, or at least to look at cars, is when you don't have to. When you can do it at your pace. There's no stress. There's no pressure. There's no, well, you know, these are the 10 cars I'm kind of interested in. They're available. You can really be choosy and picky and look for the price, the color, the trim package, all that kind of stuff. Just start at Frontier Motors. Because what you'll find there is good quality used cars, you know, that will take you for many, many years. That's why they only buy good A quality cars that are 2, 3, maybe 1 year old, that kind of thing, with a few thousand miles on them. That's what they specialize in, cars you can drive for a long time. But they may have what you want, in which case you can buy it, or they may not have what you want exactly, and they can go looking for you. You know, put them on retainer, basically, and say, I mean, you don't have to pay them to do it, but just, you know, say, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Can you go find it for me? They're buying cars all the time, and they're looking for you. And if they've got a couple of months to do that, well, chances are they can, you know, find the thing that you're looking for. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
We're sharing more than ever before during the 2024 Subaru Share the Love event. Now through January 2nd, when you purchase or lease a new Subaru, Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of four nationally recognized charities: the ASPCA, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels, or the National Park Foundation. Or choose our local charity, the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association, and Anderson Subaru will add an extra $250 to Subaru's donation. And for every routine Subaru vehicle service visit, Anderson Subaru will donate $5 more to the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association. So far, we've donated over $175,000 to help fight breast cancer in Pensacola. Get a great vehicle and support a great cause at the Subaru Share the Love event now through January 2nd. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
$250 donation for new purchase or lease. Promotion ends January 2nd. See retailer or AndersonSubaru.com/share. For details.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Classes start January 10th. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu to learn more.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfan, Kevin Robbins, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And just what are you going to do about it?
If you so much as lay a finger on the brim, I'll never bring you another Christmas present as long as you live.
God rest ye merry gentlemen. It's still Christmas. It's still Christmas. 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's great to be back on the air. Good to have you. Thank you to everybody who filled in for me and did such a good job while I was gone. Bobby and Danny and John and JC and then Walker and then and Alex. I got to give credit to Alex, who was here for a little while. Andrade and John Hutchinson, the other John, and Rusty and Al on Monday, and then the best of yesterday. What was it you were telling me? You did an hour of all transgressors?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
That was my gift to everyone.
What a Christmas Eve overdose. I love it. Oh, my God. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. John?
Well, we're dealing with a disabled vehicle that's having roadblock if you're on I-10 eastbound trying to get onto I-110 southbound. There's a disabled vehicle blocking the merge lane, so that's causing some major delays, so you definitely want to go around that one. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
You want to know what our frivolous topic is going to be? And I have an extra surprise, by the way, somebody who might be here to participate in that, but I don't want to say it just yet. You'll like it. You know what our Christmas, what our third, our frivolous topic is going to be? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Oh, she's
here. I heard
that
from the other room.
Candy's here. And I heard her scream from the other room. This is very exciting. Hi, Candy. Put open your mic, David. Okay, let me do it again. Ready? We'll reenact.
Oh.
Our frivolous topic.
Dude, I'm so sorry. No, it's David.
Our frivolous topic is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes. Sorry.
Well, you screamed the first time.
Yeah.
There it is.
Because it is.
Okay, 8:30. All right. Okay. Love you, dear.
All right.
she's filling in for Meg today, and she comes by periodically, and you'll get a little. That's your after Christmas gift is a little dose of candy today. So yeah, I know.
So that sweet. Goes a long way.
It does. It goes a long way.
My husband's.
David Wayne is. Wow. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines, though, right, David?
Yes. Yes. Right here. Right here with your headlines, Andrew. Well, three people recovering in hospitals in New York after a cab jumped the curb and into crowds on Christmas afternoon. Six people were hit, two women and a 9-year-old boy hospitalized and in stable condition. Officials say the driver may have had a medical episode. The Netherlands providing a gift to a North Carolina community that was devastated by Hurricane Helene. The company Dutch Grown donating 10,000 tulip bulbs to Swannanoa, that's over near Asheville, after hearing about impacts from the storm. Those are expected to bloom in April.
Dutch Grown is what happens when you tell a dad joke in the Netherlands.
Is
Oh, no, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And that wasn't bad, actually.
David, thanks so much for the update. do I have time to read this? I think I do. I put a Facebook post up yesterday. I'm going to just read it to you. It's pretty good. Inclusion is one of those words that conservatives tend to ridicule, but it's useful on Christmas to remember that the original author of inclusion was Jesus Christ himself, the one who came to earth in the form of a child and lived a life that demonstrated inclusion for the most undesirable people in the world. Tax collectors, who were Roman collaborators, thieves, adulterers, and even the sexually disfigured eunuchs. He was born into poverty, the son of a menial laborer who married a pregnant teen whom everyone assumed had slept with someone else. Jesus was the great includer. He did not embrace sin. He had to die for it, actually. But he most certainly embraced sinners. His ministry was not aimed at the wealthy, the powerful, the beautiful, the smart, and the popular. It was primarily aimed at the poor, the weak, the ugly, the foolish, and the bullied.
Listen on air.